Okay, stop, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehenna. Both of those terms are incorrect. The Jews are not the Israel of the Bible, and Gentiles does not mean non-Jew. It should be the two houses of Judah and Israel, which were reconciled in Yeshua, and are the two branches of the olive tree. How can the Jews be one in Messiah when he says they will all be destroyed? And how will the Gentiles be one in Messiah when he said he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel? The only thing Jews and Gentiles can be one in is counterfeit doctrine, and one in Messiah only if it's Jewish Jesus they are one in, and all three parties will be one in the lake of fire. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, or what communion has light with darkness, or saints with demons, sheep with wolves, wheat with tares? They can't. The two houses of Israel and Judah are one in Yeshua, one in Messiah, one in the olive tree. Let's correct this. Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might be.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. One in Yeshua's love.
To the Gentiles who might be starting to see that you are not a Gentile, and to Gentiles who have no idea who you really are, and to my Israelite kinsmen who do not identify as a Gentile, because you understand that it is a Latin word which does not mean non-Jew, and is only used to deceive our people into believing any of the 33,000 versions of so-called Christianity. May the divine influence be with you. This is part 12 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. Here's a quick recap of part 11. In Corinthians, Paul specifically addresses these Israelites as genetic brethren of the flesh, talking to them about the cup of blessing, communion, and partaking with sacrifices to idols, that you can't do both. If you needed to eat and had to buy foods sacrificed to idols, don't partake in the sacrifice. Just buy it, take it home, pray over it, and eat it. Don't be a burden to one another if others have more or less of a conscience about it. Don't give offense to the Judean or the Gentile, which actually replaces the word Hellene, which is a Greek, which are descendants of Japheth, son of Noah, tenth from Adam, who is supposedly a Jew, which would make everybody Jews, again showing that Gentiles just means nations. In chapter 12, for some reason Paul calls his Israelite brethren Gentiles, which were carried off to Assyria and Babylon in bondage, which no Jew has ever been under, for worshiping dumb idols. Paul teaches that we are all one body, and rather than being a pure, unmixed race, which Yahweh created and demanded us to remain, he changed his mind and said, everybody fornicate and drink of the same spirit. I kinda like the Jews' idea of turning all the different races into the brown man. In Galatians, Paul reminds the assembly that he used to be zealous for the Jews' religion of Talmudic Satanism, which they called Judaism, and hunted down his own nation, which were Israelites, and jail or kill them. That Christ told him he was to preach to the Gentiles, and he was confused, but then he remembered that Christ said he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and commanded to not go to the Gentiles, because that word was later used to deceive the whole world, and that Christ meant to go to the Goyim, the ethnos, and the Hellene of Israel, and bring them the good news. In chapter 2, Paul had to reprimand Peter for eating with the Gentiles, because pork had just recently been cleaned by Christ, and all-you-can-eat buffets were going up all over the place, and that if Peter was a circumcised Judean and his Gentile buddies were uncircumcised, why was he compelling them to live after the manner of the Judeans, but at the same time he was living as the Gentiles? But these weren't Gentiles. They were Israelites who forgot they were Israelites. Surely by now, you're starting to see the foolishness of the word Gentiles and how it just does not work. Let's pick it up in Galatians 3, verse 6. Paul brings up Abraham because he is the father of our people whom this message is for. Even as Abraham believed Elohim, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you therefore that they which are of faith, or belief, the same are the children of Abraham. Paul defined the faith, or the belief, of Abraham in Romans 4. Paul and Scripture never teach that if you believe, you become children of Abraham. The churches teach that. The devils believe, so are they Abraham's children too? Verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the heathen through belief, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. The translators chose to use the word heathen and nations for the same word ethnos, which is used twice in verse 8, both times talking about the whole Adamic race. The promises, laws, and covenants were given to Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendants, Abraham's race. Abraham obeyed Yahweh and placed his son on the altar as a sacrifice to Yahweh, and still had faith in what Yahweh promised him, that he would be a father of many nations, meaning nations that came from Abraham's loins. This cannot be spiritualized, and you cannot add other races into this promise or gene pool. The context is the children of Abraham, and the nations from those children will be blessed. Gentiles is a foreign language, word, and meaning which is craftily and deceptively placed to lead our people away from their heritage, identity, and God. Verse 9. So then they which be out of belief are blessed with the believing Abraham. The faith of the Scriptures is the rock of a family. The Scriptures are about this family, and the laws, traditions, and God of the Scriptures is the personal business and inheritance of this family. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law, or the Torah, to do them. Deuteronomy 27:26 and Jeremiah 11:3. If you stay in the rituals, then you are cursed. Christ freed us from the ritual obligations. Don't continue in them. But the Jews still sacrifice. The blessings of obedience and curses of disobedience are in Deuteronomy 28, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Elohim, it is evident, for the just shall live out of belief, and the law is not out of belief, but the man that practices them shall live in them. Doing the law. Righteousness comes from obedience, Leviticus 18:5 and Romans 10:5. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yeshua Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the belief. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. No man can change the covenants, but the churches do. They include everyone else into the covenants made to Abraham's seed. Isaac was dedicated on the altar to Yahweh, and he and his seed became Yahweh's. This was not for all the races of the world, neither was Christ's death. They are connected and only cover the called seed of Isaac, which are the children of Israel, the vessels of mercy. Esau and his Jewish children are Yahweh's too, because Esau was Isaac's son too. But they are called for a different purpose, to be stumbling blocks, and are dedicated to destruction, the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. The Greek is much clearer. Now to Abraham the promises have been spoken, and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, as of many, but as of one, and to your offspring, which are anointed. Christ is not always referring to Jesus. Christ means anointed, called out, set apart. The children of Jacob were the ones set apart. Some examples are 1 Samuel 2, 10 and 35, 1 Chronicles 16, 22, Psalms 2, 2 and 9, Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, Lamentations 4, 20, Habakkuk 3, 13. Abraham's seed was called out, anointed, chosen over all the other nations of the world. Yes, it is exclusive, but don't take my word for it. Take Yahweh's word. Seed is defined as offspring, posterity, kind after kind. The Greek for sperm is sperma. Sperm, as the churches teach, cannot be spiritualized. Those not of the race of Abraham can't become the seed of Abraham. There is no such thing as spiritual sperm. Sperm carries genetics. It does not transform you into an Israelite by some false belief. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Elohim, the law, or Torah, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But Elohim gave it to Abraham by promise. The written law of Moses was given 430 years after the promises were given to Abraham. The Israelites were not slaves in Egypt for 400 years. Moses was a third-generation Levite, the covenant and promises have nothing to do with the law. Our free gift of salvation is because of the promise made to Abraham, but we can be blotted out if we do not practice and strive for the faith of Christ. Not only does the Old Testament state exactly who the promises and covenants are made with, but also the New Testament reiterates it, and here in Galatians. Just where do the churches read that God changes his mind and breaks his word? The answer is they believe the Latin word gentilis, which replaced the words of Yahweh. They believe their false preacher and church doctrine. They believe they are saved, and it doesn't matter because they are going to be raptured. They're in for a big surprise. In Galatians, G1484 ethnos is used 10 times as heathen, nations, and Gentiles. Every time, it's about the children of Israel, the nations of Jacob. The Ephesians were mostly Dorian Greeks and Roman Israelites. Some were Phoenicians, Ionian Greeks, and other branches of the dispersed nations of Israel. Paul is addressing those who were dead in trespasses and sins. That would be the nations of Israel. Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the age of this society, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. The spirit, Satan's, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, or disbelief, unpersuadableness, stubborn, rebellious. Who are the children of disobedience? Who was given the law? Israelites. Colossians 1:21, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in thought by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. When we walk according to satanic society, our works are antichrist, and we become antichrist. We walk in every belief that is not of the true faith. Verse 8. For by divine influence you are preserved through the belief, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim. There is nothing we do for this favor or grace. It is a free gift from Yahweh because of the promises made to Abraham and his seed, our kinsmen. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If we gained grace or favor because of doing works or rituals, then we could boast that we saved ourselves. Paul is not saying the law or good works are not needed, but simply that they put you into position to receive the favor or grace. The Greek reads verse 10 as, "For his work we are, having been established among the number of Christ Yeshua for good works, which Yahweh before prepared in order that we would walk in them." Verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. This verse is an idiomatic play on words. Circumcision of the heart is what matters. The distinctions of circumcision have become false under the multiracial ungodly government of Judea. After 150 BC, when John Hyrcanus started circumcising Edomite Jews, the distinctions weren't so obvious. Circumcision is an Abrahamic covenant. When were Gentiles circumcised in those days of Abraham? They weren't, unless you were the men of Shechem, whom the sons of Jacob slew for raping their sister, or the Philistines, whom David took 200 foreskins from. Verse 12. that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Elohim in the world. The King James translators took a past tense verb, alienated, and changed it to a noun, aliens. This changes the whole message. I read it correctly in verse 12, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, when it said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, which is wrong, but it's translated correctly in Colossians 1:21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. Our ancestors were alienated, put away in punishment from the anointed group, and were lost, hence dispersed and lost Israel. Verse 12 does not imply that Gentiles were part of the commonwealth of Israel's beginnings and being circumcised. Those alienated were those being antichrist through wickedness. Verse 13. But now in Christ Yeshua, you, who sometimes were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is the two sticks prophecy. The middle wall is the hostility of the flesh and ignorance of heritage. The two houses of Israel and Judah were united. Judah, the circumcised, and Israel, the uncircumcised. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in one body by the pale, or cross, or stake, having slain the enmity thereby. The two houses of Judah and Israel forgot who they were, and had hostility between themselves. Judeans had the law, and the dispersed of Israel did not. Judeans viewed themselves as something because they sacrificed to God, and they viewed the dispersed nations as common or profane, basically because they were pagans. Christ's death covered both houses, because they are kinsmen. The churches try to teach that the Gentiles are non-Israelites, that the Gentiles can claim someone else's inheritance by believing. Colossians 1:20, and, having made peace through the blood of his cross, or stake, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things of earth or things in heaven, and you, houses of Israel and Judah, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, meaning the sacrificial rituals, one of Yahweh's ordinance, the other of pagan idolatry, yet now has he reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Elohim. Both houses are no more strangers to each other. Both are Abraham's seed. Both are saints called. Nobody else is included in this inheritance, nor can be added. The two sticks prophecy is in Ezekiel, and must be the prophecy of the Jews and Gentiles becoming one in Yeshua, right? Let's see. Ezekiel 37:16. Moreover, you son of Adam, take you one stick and write upon it, for Judah and for the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of your people shall speak unto you, saying, Will you not show us what you mean by these? Say unto them, Thus says Yahweh Elohim, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Looks like once again the Gentile doctrine is destroyed by the truth. The management of the family of the household of Yahweh, Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Yeshua Christ for you Gentiles. Paul was in prison in Rome when he wrote this epistle. Did he write this to the Gentiles? No. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation, or the management of the family, of the divine influence of Elohim which is given me in regard to you. Dispensation is from G 36:22, oikonomia, and means the management of a household and affairs. Paul has been given the stewardship or administration, the management, of the family of Elohim. Who is the family of Elohim? By now you should know that it is the seed of Abraham. Acts 9:15. But the prince said unto him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel by me, to bear my name before both the nations and kings of the children of Israel. Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Christ here is referring to the anointed people, the group. Christ is not a mystery. The identity of the anointed group is the mystery. They, and we, forgot who we are, and because of it the Jews teach that we are Gentiles, non-Israelites. The Jews are not called the most subtle of all the beasts of the earth for nothing. Isaiah 66:19. And I will set a sign among them, the children of Israel, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations of Israel, to Tarshish, Spain, Pool, and Lud, Lydia, that draw the bow to Tubal, Russia, and Yavan, Ionian Greeks, to the isles afar off, the UK, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the dispersed nations of Israel. All throughout the times, Noah's three sons, the captivities in Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon, our people migrated and founded the nations of Mesopotamia, Europe, and America. This was because of the divorce of Yahweh and Israel. So most of these nations through migration forgot who they were. Isaiah 29:10. For Yahweh had poured out upon you, disobedient Israel, the spirit of deep sleep, a falling away, amnesia, and has closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, has he covered. Verse 5. The mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the divine influence of Elohim given unto me by the effectual operation of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this divine influence given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, meaning the anointed, the group. See, there is where the Gentiles are added as God's people. Again, no. Yahweh is not a liar and does not break his word. Those who do not know his word and who his people are would believe these counterfeit translations which have created contrary doctrine, which our people eat up because they believe the lies and delusions of the churches and constant propaganda spinning around the glass toilet of the Jewish matrix of deceit called a television. The rest of chapter 3, Paul speaks about the family, the belief of the family, and the importance of having the true knowledge of the family. Ephesians 4:12, for the restoration of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Saints are the called out seed of Abraham throughout Scripture. The churches teach that anybody who believes becomes a saint, but that is not what Scripture teaches. The children of Israel needed perfecting or restoring or repairing because we were divorced because we broke the covenant. The body of Christ consists of the same race of people, Israelites, all the same flesh, the same calling, the same covenants and promises made to, the same mind, and the same lifestyle. All the races cannot be one body, never have, and never will. These scriptures are about our family, our race, our way, and our God. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the belief and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, or at man perfected, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning the fullness of the anointed group, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Obviously, we are still being deceived, millions in church, learning about every wind of doctrine of men, a Jewish Jesus, the rapture, that you are a Gentile, and that the law was done away with. All you have to do is just believe, and once you're saved, you're always saved. All 33,000 so-called Christian religions are nothing but jots and tittles from the pit of Gehenna. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, the Christ. Again, the Greek is much clearer. From whom all the body is being joined together and is being reconciled through every stroke of assistance, according to the operation of each single part in proportion, the growth of the body creates itself into a building of love. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and I call you to witness with authority, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. What nations? The Genesis chapter 10 nations, and Israelite nations, and Canaanite and Edomite nations. Nations means peoples. It can refer to any nation. Colossians 3:6, for which things' sake the wrath of Elohim comes on the children of disobedience, Israel, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them, Romans 1:21, because that, when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The KJV got this one right, alienated, not aliens, like in chapter 2:12. Without understanding, we are alienated from Yahweh. This is not talking about converting Jews, which is impossible, for they have no light or truth in them. The Jews never fell away from Elohim. They were never of Elohim. They are fallen angel offspring and devils in flesh suits. It's referring to Israelites who fell away from the way, alienated from the light and truth. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, Israelites, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Elohim, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by belief that is in me. Verse 19, who showing no sorrow have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with arrogance. If you are part of any of the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity, then you are alienated from God. You have been given over to lasciviousness and delusion, and are walking in darkness, and will have to answer for calling upon Haimi Jesus. Ephesians uses G1484 ethnos 5 times as Gentiles, every time referring to the children of Israel, and the last use could include any and every nation, because that's what G1484 ethnos means. The Colossians were primarily Dorian Greek Israelites. Paul addresses these Colossians as saints and brethren, that he prays for them to desire to be filled with knowledge and understanding and walk worthy of the Christ Yeshua. This is why these letters greet these kinsmen with, may the divine influence be with you, which is one way the meaning of grace is used towards the children of Israel by Yahweh and by the brethren. Paul exhorts them to seek understanding. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or qualifies us, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The context is still increasing in knowledge and understanding, and to his Israelite kinsmen. The proof is in verses 21 to 22. Verse 21, and you, dispersed of Israel, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind or thoughts by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable or void of offense in his sight. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of the household of Elohim, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of Elohim, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from races, but now is made manifest to his saints. The mystery was who the Israelites were. Because of the captivities and dispersion of the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, both houses, Israel and Judah, forgot or lost their heritage and kinship to each other. Verse 27. To whom Elohim would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The last part should read, which is the expectation of honor anointed in you, the expectancy of esteem. Christ comes from Christos. It means anointed. It does not always refer to Christ, but sometimes to the children of Israel, the anointed group. G1484 ethnos is used once in Colossians and as Gentiles. Yahweh is not revealing the mystery of the Gentile church. He is making the mystery manifest to his saints, which are the lost sheep of the house of Israel that needed to be reminded of who they were and whose they were. Why would God show Gentiles the mystery of what the Israelites forgot, which only has to do with Israelites? Many Greek and Roman Israelites lived in Thessalonica. Paul, addressing his kinsmen as brethren, thanking them and encouraging them of accepting the gospel and not just believing, but walking in it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we Elohim without ceasing, because when you received the word of Elohim which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of Elohim, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The Greek Septuagint was the written word of Elohim at that time, the Old Testament. It didn't have the word Gentiles in it. Verse 14, For you, brethren, became imitators of the assemblies of Elohim which in Judea are in Christ Yeshua. For you also have suffered the like things of your own countrymen, even as they of the Judeans. The Judeans spoken of here are referring to the Edomite scribes and Pharisees, the children of the devil, John 8:44, the infiltrators of the priesthood, corrupting the laws of Moses into the traditions of men. Verse 15, who both killed, meaning murdered, the prince Yeshua and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not Elohim, and are contrary to all men. The King James Version has their own prophets, when it should read the prophets. This was added by the translators to support the lie that the Jews are Israel. It is not in the older texts. The first appearance of their own is in the 6th or 7th century revision of the 5th century Codex Bezae. Here are some examples of Edomites killing Israelite prophets and priests. Remember Doeg, the Edomite? 1 Samuel 21:7, 22:9, 18, and 22, and Psalm 52:1? Or Jezebel? 1 Kings 18:4, 21:15 and 23, 2 Kings 9:7, and Revelation 2:20? How about in Esther, where the Edomite Jew Haman tried to genocide the Judahites? Just like today, the Jews want to genocide the white race. They can't do it militarily, but they do it through Planned Parenthood abortions, vaccines and poisoning, staged wars and false flag events, false doctrine, which keeps us ignorant and in sin, and their favorite weapon of race mixing, which destroys the holy seed. Acts 2:23, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel of Edomites and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 16, the Pharisees, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be preserved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The Jews were pissed off that the apostles were waking up their kinsmen from the brainwashing the Jews did on them with their Talmudism. Just like today, the ones telling the truth are shut down by the Jew-controlled media. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Prince Yeshua, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please Elohim, so you would abound more and more. Walking is different than just believing. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Prince, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. Verse 2. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Prince Yeshua. For this is the will of Elohim, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Fornication is not just unlawful sex. It includes harlotry, incest, idolatry, and race mixing. Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, or body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of forbidden desires, even as the Gentiles which know not Elohim. Lost Israel did not know Elohim. The northern house of Israel and much of Judah did not return to Judea after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. They forgot the law and who they were. That is why the Gentiles, the dispersed of Israel, the uncircumcised, forgot their heritage and that they were of the same kindred as their brethren of Judea. Verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Prince is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Elohim, and that obey not the gospel of our Prince Yeshua Christ. The Ten Commandments and all the instructions Yahweh ever gave us are part of obeying the gospel. Only the priesthood and its ordinances and the sacrificial blood rituals were done away with. Gentiles is used only twice and only in 1 Thessalonians. Both times are about the nations of Israel. The main theme of 1 Timothy is concerned with practical matters affecting assembly organization and the character and behavior of ministers and office holders. Paul warns of false preachers and the doctrines of Judaism. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh Elohim, our Savior, who will have, or who desires, all men to be preserved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Christ Yeshua. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they, which are called, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The churches teach that the Old Testament was the past, and Israel is the Jews, and that the New Testament is now for the Gentile church. The reference in Hebrews explicitly and exclusively refers to the children of Israel, the called out seed of Abraham, whom the promises were made and inheritance promised to. No other race or people were given the law, the covenants and promises and election spoken of in Scripture. Christ came only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all, meaning all Adam kind, the family, to be testified in due time. The Greek translates as the one giving himself instead, or as a loosener or ransom, for the sake of all the witnesses to their own seasons, meaning the remnant throughout each generation which knows, keeps, and teaches the family heritage, history, and creed are all his witnesses. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Adam came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So did he come for all or many? He came for all his people, but sadly, all of his people will not be saved or ransomed from the second death. That's why it matters who and what we believe in. Verse 7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in belief and truth. Paul taught his Israelite kinsmen about their heritage and reminded them of their relationship with their brethren and the Father, which they had forgotten about. 1 Timothy 3:14. These things, meaning the requirements and responsibilities of an overseer of the flock, write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of Elohim, which is the assembly of the living Elohim, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. A better translation is, and beyond all question, the secret of reverence is great. Elohim was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, or messengers, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, or society, received up into honor. Yeshua preached to his Israelite kinsmen of the house of Judah. There may have been non-Israelites in the crowds, but the message was for his people, and not all of them responded either. Many times Christ was privately teaching his taught ones and not the multitudes, such as the Sermon on the Mount. Christ came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as he stated, and as the prophecies of the Old Testament foretell. The churches have been deceived. The scriptures have been perverted. The Jews' propaganda is relentless, and the 33,000 other beliefs of so-called Christianity are not the belief. The churches, the Jews, and believers are not the children of Abraham, no matter how much they believe. The children of Abraham are genetic, literal, flesh and blood, born from above, offspring. The children of the promise are the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. The gospel message is for all Israelites because it's the history of the children of Jacob. It's the prophecies, marriage, divorce, casting off, reconciling, and deliverance of our people, who are the innumerable offspring of the children of Jacob.
Look toward heaven,
and number the stars. If you are able to number them, hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon. Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher, Issachar and Zebulun, Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12 sons of Israel, God's promise fulfilled. These are the 12 tribes of Israel, through them God blessed the world. These are the 12 sons.
Called Goyim in the Old Testament.
These are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Called Ethnos and Helen in the New Testament.
But how would God bless the world through these 12 sons? Well, a descendant of Judah would come. He come to save us from our sins. To save us from. Sent from the Father to rescue his people and reign forevermore.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise
Yahweh. Way.
Right.